How much waste do you generate at home and at work?
It's something that we think about a lot and that we want to invest in.
It doesn't just disappear, it has to be managed for decades.
In this episode of Your Region Pod, we find out how well we are diverting waste from the landfill and what the future holds as our population grows.
We'll also shed some new light on a few things, like biodegradable packaging and just how much of the recycling you put out is actually contaminated.
Let's start with some upcoming changes to the recycling program that could help divert more waste.
We sat down with Deanna Dakin and Dave Johnston from the Waste Collection and Diversion Team here at the Region to chat about the precedent for this program.
The provincial government introduced this legislation, and it moves the responsibility of recycling away from the municipalities and to the actual producers of the waste. So the producers are the companies that create the packaging waste we see in our blue box. They are now going to be responsible for the blue box program for our residents. They have created a not-for-profit organization called Circular Materials, and they're running the program on their behalf. The province of British Columbia has had this model for a few years ahead of us, and they've already gone down the path that we're just going down now. They've had great success, and we're hoping for the same thing here.
British Columbia was the first to start this kind of program in North America. In 2021, they reported an 85% recovery rate.
So to find out what's in store under the new program for us here at Waterloo Region, we caught up with Circular Materials CAO, Alan Langdon.
And Circular Materials is a producer responsibility organization that operates in a number of jurisdictions in Canada and is engaged in operating residential recycling programs as well as returning material to producers for use as recycled content. If you look at how recycling works, you know, both in Canada and across North America, it's really over the last, you know, few years really started to stagnate. And I think as a result of that, policymakers have started to look at extended producer responsibility as a tool under which they could encourage greater investment and innovation in recycling. And to do that, make producers, the people that produce the packaging that goes in these boxes, responsible for not just the financing of the system, but also the management. So actually making them responsible for finding ways to innovate and optimize the system.
Does this build in incentives for producers to think more carefully about the packaging that they bring out to market?
I think what it does is it puts a cost on packaging, an externality that previously they didn't have to pay for. So now every kilogram of packaging carries a fee on it. And so the more packaging they use, the more quantity of packaging they use, the higher their fees are going to be. You know, it makes them more conscious of how much packaging they're actually contributing to the system. But then also there's a price on it. And so now they have, it's like anything. Once you have an input cost, they now have the ability to manage that input cost by making decisions on how much packaging they're going to use and the type of packaging they're going to use.
Just speaking to a sort of higher level vision here, what will we see for the future of recycling and corporate responsibility? And what are some of the obstacles to getting there?
We're going to see an expanded list, you know, starting 2026 of accepted materials. So pretty much everything that's put on the market will be eligible for collection in the blue box. That list will be uniform across that province. In addition, we'll be able to make investments in infrastructure so that we can actually recycle a greater amount of that material. And in doing so, a greater amount of that material can either, you know, be sold as a valued commodity or go right back into producers within their own supply chains. So they can use that material as recycled content in new products and new packaging.
Alan didn't really get into the obstacles they will face, but these changes to the Blue Box program are expected to have a positive impact on our landfill.
Deanna and Dave seem pretty optimistic. They shared with us how well we are diverting waste now and what the future may hold.
Ideally, we're going to see less waste coming to our one and only landfill as this new recycling program rolls out across the province. I joined Waste about 29 years ago, and when I started in Waste, we had around 25 years of capacity in our landfill, and I'm hoping when I retire, we still have 25 years of capacity left.
In all, we're diverting 64% of our waste from the landfill. With the participation that we get from our residents, we do have one of the highest diversion rates around the province, really, for a municipality our size. And that's the reason why our landfill capacity continues to be as good as it is.
prolonging the life of our landfill also comes down to managing our waste at the site.
We chatted with Senior Environmental Engineer Tracy Annett at the region to find out how that works and how we plan for population growth.
When you place waste at the curb, it ultimately is disposed of at the Waterloo landfill site. However, given over half of our waste stream is from industrial, commercial, and institutional sector, if you work within the region, there is a high chance that your waste generated at your office or place of employment also makes its way to our Waterloo landfill. The landfill gas collection systems are very important environmental control systems because the gas that's generated from decomposing garbage is a greenhouse gas, which is called methane. So very important that we have a control in place to minimize our greenhouse gas emissions. We construct engineered cells to hold and place our garbage in order to protect our soil, air, and drinking water.
So it's not just a pile of garbage. These are highly strategized and thought out facilities in reality. And what are some of the future plans with regards to the near term plans for the landfill?
We've been working on, since 2022, the construction of our next cell, which we're nearing completion. We'll roughly be landfilling in that new cell for about 3 years until we reach an interim height. And we're already starting to make a plan to start the design cycle for the next cell.
What are some of the plans that your department or that you're looking at to help manage future growth?
My colleagues spoke about the extended producer responsibility and the shift to the provincial Blue Box program, but we felt it was a key timing to revisit our long-term strategy to ensure that we have sustainable long-term options for dealing with residual waste and garbage, and to see if we can divert more garbage from our landfill in hopes to extend the life. So the scope of this assignment, Sam, is being drafted now, and the public will be given an opportunity to provide input into this review and update to our long-term waste management strategies. Collectively, our consumption does have an impact as to how quickly the remaining space available fills up.
While what we consume is important and we recognize that, is it something businesses and residents make a conscious effort to think about?
Yeah, one of the challenges for producers or businesses is cost. We sat down with Jen Fenning, the owner of Fenning's Organic Farm in New Hamburg, to talk about what she's seeing.
We're an organic farm that works with other farms, and our mission is to feed our neighbors, ourselves, and the community at large.
How would you describe the history of companies taking responsibility for the packaging that they create and put into the market?
A lot of times decisions are made based on price, you know, the very cheapest, because we all want to deliver our product to market at the most affordable rate, which also enables any company, no matter what they're producing, to be more financially viable. So looking at that, you know, a lot of times the decisions are made not on whether or not the packaging is, you know, hitting targets of environmental sustainability or recyclability or returnability, but on whether or not you can economically afford to do it and whether you have that room. You look at a company like ours, and we go beyond that. Yes, we absolutely have to take, you know, the fiscal bottom line has to be manageable. But we also look at our consumer base. So the people who are buying the food that we produce actually care a lot about whether or not the package they're buying it in is good for the environment or not.
What is it that drives the price up on packaging that is environmentally friendly or more sustainable?
it's a lot of things. It's not always the things you would think about. You would think maybe that the cost of production is higher. And yes, that can be the case. But in a lot of cases, it's actually about the handling of it after, or simply the marketability. They know they can charge more, right? So there are so many different factors. From the production side, you're looking at whether or not those production streams are efficient. If you have a product that is using virgin material, those are very massive systems that are tweaked to be as efficient at pumping out volume as possible. And when you're looking at recycled or any kind of alternative, oftentimes those systems are smaller, they're more startup, more niche, so you have a higher cost attached to those supply chains.
So the costs that Jen described here get in the way of lowering a business's carbon footprint.
When we took to the streets to talk to residents about how much waste they generate, we found out costs are also an obstacle for them when it comes to diverting waste.
It's something that we think about a lot and that we want to invest in terms of like having more sustainable packaging. But it's also been hard just economically. And so we're kind of getting like what we can most cheaply.
We also try to reuse a lot of things. So like a lot of containers, like if there's like well-made containers, we just reuse them.
I mean, I definitely care about it. So I use the organic collection, the green bins, a lot. I make sure we, you know, put everything there. And actually, I learned a really cool tip when I picked it up when I moved to the region, to put all of those things in your freezer so it doesn't start to stink. Because that's what I think people avoid doing that for, is because it smells. So put it in the freezer, and then on collection day, just put it out on the curb, and then you're good. And then otherwise, I have like two or three recycling bins, and I find that I fill those more up than my garbage can. Unfortunately, I still have small kids, so there's a lot of waste, I think, that generated through the things we purchase for them. But a lot of the packaging, I try to recycle all the Amazon boxes and things like that.
As a family, I think we make sure we look at the containers we use and the packaging and try and divert it into the right proper blue bin. We're using the green bin. The kids love using the green bin and putting things in and just diverting the waste that we have in the proper channels to kind of reduce the footprint.
Anytime I want to dump something, I see like a bunch of labels on like there's like four different types of garbage bins and like name tag with different saying recycle, paper products, and then waste only. And I'm so confused. If I have something like that has food already in it, I would just put it in the waste and wouldn't think about if it's a paper or what, because I don't know, I'm just in a hurry all the time and I'm like, okay, I just want to dump this, I'm gonna go.
To be honest, like if I talk about myself, I do think about it, but I get confused whether it's wet waste, recycle or garbage. So there's still confusion because like as she mentioned, like food is still there, but the outing packaging is recycled. So you get confused what to put how.
Most people we spoke with do the best they can to divert waste, but things like rising costs and not knowing how to properly dispose of certain items prevents us from maximizing how much waste we can actually divert.
Now is a good time to share a few tips and insights that might be helpful for our listeners. First, recycling coffee cups. If you're confused about how to do this, you're not alone. Deanna and Dave offer some guidance.
We actually promote a two-box sort for our residents to participate in. One, so it is confusing. So one is paper fibers, what we call, and any plastic bags you may have. And the other box is containers only. And so this is where it does get a little tricky, but also the Waste Whiz is super helpful. If you type in coffee cup, your answer would pop up for you. So it goes in the containers only box. So let's say you went to Starbucks and you had a lid, you would take off the plastic lid, the paper cup, and put them both in loofs. All our material right now is sorted into separate categories, and paper coffee cups are different than plastic lids. And that's why we asked you to separate them.
While we're on that topic, though, I'm also going to add that using a reusable mug is far better for the environment than recycling a coffee cup.
If you're not familiar with the Waste Whiz Deanna referred to, well, it's clearly not me. It's an app you can download on your phone. This app is really helpful. I'm looking up chip bags and confirmed they are garbage.
And I bet you didn't know this, the coffee pods people use in their Keurigs, you can't put them in the green bin, even though the packaging says it's biodegradable. Deanna tells us why.
The material collected in the green bin is composted in a very short amount of time, like 8 to 12 weeks. It goes from your smelly banana peel into this soil amendment compost that is sold back to farmers and landscapers so they can add it to their fields to grow more vegetables and fruits for the community. Whenever we start to add other types of packaging in there or material, it really slows down the composting process. So any type of compostable packaging is not accepted in our green bin program, with the exception we do allow bags, compostable bags, to contain the material. And the reason is because it takes too long to break down before it turns into soil.
So all compostable packaging, aside from the bags that hold your green bin material, take too long to break down. We'll have to wait and see if this packaging evolves to break down easier in the future.
And one last tip for you is not everything can go in the blue box. Alan says many of us are contaminating the recyclables that we put in our blue bins.
One of the focuses we're going to have going forward is how can we clean up the system? How can we make the material that we're collecting cleaner? And so we're really going to be working with residents on an ongoing basis to educate them on what can and cannot go in the blue box, because the cleaner the material that we can collect, the cleaner it is going to the sorting facility, and ultimately we're going to get a higher yield of material. And so if I look to a place like British Columbia, they have a 6% province-wide contamination rate, which is fantastic. We know in Ontario, in many places, we're above 20% contamination rate. That type of contamination doesn't make it easy for us to do the job of actually recycling the material that's included with all that contamination. So I think residents have a big part, big role to play in this, in being, in learning more about what can go in recycling and make sure that they're putting the right things in the recycling box.
Okay, so maybe I am actually a waste whiz, because I do have one more tip. In this conversation, it sort of came out that I sometimes will throw an orange peel in the garbage. And in fact, my thinking there was that it'll decompose and on its own, and it's not a big deal. And in fact, it kind of is, because it gets sealed in the landfill and will be well preserved. So, throw it in the green bin.
Yeah, that's good to know, because I'm guilty of it too. There's so much more we can do.
And one of those things is make sure that you download the WasteWiz app. And the next time you're in the store, check to see if what you're buying is actually recyclable or biodegradable.
Thanks everyone for listening. We'll see you next time.